Good evening.
Good evening, Pastor. How you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I am well as well. All glory to the Most High God.
Amen. How's your week going?
It's going good. Going good. Thanks
okay.
for asking.
Yep, sure.
I was intentional about starting to write about the things you told me to get into.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll give you a call maybe tomorrow or something just for some more insight, and I'll share with you what I've already come up with.
Awesome.
Getting news back, you know, and from my son, you know, he's back in the mental institution. However, he had court Monday, and they put him on the 51 plan to where he has to take the medication for a bit. However, he finally admitted that he needed some help, you know, versus being in denial and going with the motion. So I feel like that's the biggest thing. You know, when we can admit that there's something going on, then the miracle can happen, the transformation can happen, the healing can happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really not about the medication for me. It's about him admitting where he is and that he needs help.
It's the acknowledgement, right? Right. You can't fix it if you don't see that there's something wrong.
Yeah.
Right. So you said he's on the 51 plan. What is that?
Well, that's like a court order. So he has to, because at first it was optional. And for him to take the meds, which he kept refusing. And, you know, I guess he can see the results of that on his own. And I'm guessing that's also why he decided to admit that he needed some help, you know, and it's all right to admit when he needs some help, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, that it's not only all right, I remember somebody told me one day a squeaky wheel gets in your store. Right?
Yeah.
If you don't squeak, nobody knows you need oil. And so that's a beautiful thing. Very, very glad to hear. We praise God for it.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. A lot of people would see that from a natural standpoint, but I can definitely see the acceptance where it will work for him spiritually, you know, because we can be in denial and you can't get no help when you're in denial. And that's naturally and spiritually, to be honest.
So my next question is, so is he in Dane County now, or is he still?
He's in Oshkosh. He's still in Winnebago and Oshkosh, yeah. And they're going to keep him there until he's stable, and then, you know, whatever the transition is from there, you know. And my prayers just continues to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Let our Father's will be done, you know.
And what is the and it's only us on the line so far. That's why I'm going down this road, so nobody's listening.
No problem.
So what is the diagnosis that they've given him? Is there one?
They said some schizophrenia and stuff like that, which I know that those are all spirits as well, demonic spirits, and I don't receive that for him, just like when they were saying that bipolar for me, and I didn't receive that for myself. I know that those are all demonic attacks, which are spirits. So I'm glad that I'm spiritual and have the knowledge behind it. And
that makes all the sense in the world. I have no idea what's going on in the spiritual realm today. It seems that it's you and I here. So I have no idea what's going on. It's like I was looking at the screen and going, is it Wednesday or not? Right?
Right, right. Because you expect the line to be overflowing by
here.
Now.
Yeah, typically they've chimed in. I know Arnold can't be here because he's predisposed. But, you know, typically Tavon is here and you know, Sister Donna, so forth and so on. So I have no idea what's going on. I find it interesting. As I sit here and I'm going, okay, it might be time to just do some praying for some folks. Because these are Bible study lovers, right? Which is quite interesting. So why don't we do this? I'm still going to say, let's open up in prayer. And then let's talk about, you and I will read through the book of Romans, and let's talk about how you perceive the rest of the 10th chapter, right?
Okay.
One of the things that I think is interesting, especially with how the Lord allows me to perceive you, because perception, you know, it means a lot. And how I perceive you is that you know, I see an extraordinary gifting, and I'm trying to figure out what that gifting is supposed to be doing right now, right? How are you supposed to be deploying that gift to save souls, right? Because that's what it's all about. And I know that you have a high degree and a high interest for souls. I've watched you over the many years. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer, and then we'll go to the book, and let's talk about perception, okay? And how you perceive the scripture. All right, Father, we do thank you. We magnify you. We ask that you simply download what it is that you want us to know as your people. Just as Solomon asked to give, Solomon's request to you was not for riches, was not for gold, was not for longevity and long life. He simply asked to give the wisdom and the knowledge and the insight to go in and out amongst your people, because we are a variety of thought. We are a variety of perception. We are a variety of people that you put on the planet. And it is sometimes difficult to navigate the variety. We need to know how to help your people. We need to know how to increase their knowledge. We need to know how to help them to have the quality of life that you so readily gave your life for on a cross on Calvary. And because it was that important to you, it is also that important to us that your people have the equipment necessary to defeat the enemy in every circumstance that they might deal with. We ask that you show up in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you, Brother Waller. How are you?
Oh, I'm blessed and well. I'm blessed and well.
We're going to the 10th chapter of the book of Romans, Brother Waller.
10th chapter?
Yes, sir. And we're going to continue where we left off because, I mean, we didn't even get through about four or five verses. It got quite lively last week.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
And it was very, very good. At least it was good to me. I can't speak for other people.
It was great to me as well.
So I got a lot out of it. And we're going to go through that. And I said to Sister Hawanda, I said, we're going to talk about, because maybe this is a leadership meeting and not a typical Wednesday. Maybe this is about leadership. Maybe this is about how we see, how we hear. Are we on the same page about certain things, right? So we're going to the 10th chapter, and we will pick up. Let's review verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then go on from there, right?
Okay.
So I'll read it. You all discern it, right, from what we talked about last week. I'll read verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of knowledge, but not according to knowledge. A zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So what did we get out of that last week? I'll start with Sister Hawanda, and then I'll move over to Brother Tavon.
Well, we were speaking about what I had got from that is that they get the religion part, but it's really connected to the relationship part about like receiving Holy Spirit as the leader and the guider, you know, so they can only go so far with what they have. So that's the knowledge that they lack, because that Holy Spirit is really the teacher, you know, the director.
Amen. And I received that. That's absolutely correct. Brother Waller?
That's really good how she put it, because I believe that because they were lacking the Holy Spirit, they couldn't have knowledge, because the knowledge of truth is through the Holy Spirit. So they had the zeal, they had the passion, but it was a lot that they didn't know, they didn't understand. And they began to try to establish their righteousness because they didn't know where the true righteousness came from, which was Christ.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Yeah. So verse 4 again, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Do you think that could it be possible that when we read the rest of this, we'll see that what he was also trying to share with us, Paul was trying to share with us, that salvation based on behavior and based on certain disciplines that religion teach had been ended. Is that possible? For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness in everyone that believe it. Could he be saying also that even though we see people who may be homosexual, or we see people who may still be lying, cheating, stealing, and doing some things that we know are not righteous before God, but could he be saying also that, however, at the very end of their life, if they call on the name of Jesus, they might end up in heaven. You'll be shocked to see them, but they'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, could you be saying?
To me, you know, according to other scriptures, you know, with the prostitute that led the spies, she was a prostitute.
What David
did with his fellow servant that served in the army and had him killed because he saw his wife on the balcony taking a bath. So he had his guy killed to get his wife. But God said he is righteous unto me. So it's not all about sin, I guess you would say. You know, we all fall short to the glory of God. That goes. So I think you're right. Exactly, that's what he's saying, because that's what the religious people do. They judge and point fingers and saying that that's not godly or that's not holy.
All right.
And it's a bigger picture than that.
Hallelujah. All right, let's find another film.
Yes, and I agree. The closer they walk, and the closer they, it's an individual thing. You know, we want to point out that sin, and that ain't no bigger than the next one. You know, when you saying that somebody is homosexual, it's no bigger than a liar or a thief, you know, or a murderer. So striving along our walk and allowing the word to wash us and the Holy Spirit to clean that thing out of us, which is not our job.
I believe, sum it up, it's just about believing in Christ. But I believe the question is, so when we say to everyone that believes, the Bible says for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. So believe in what? I think that's the question.
Let's find out. Right? You just segued right into verses 5 through the rest of this.
Yes.
Believing, right? So, Brother Waller, go ahead and read on through, and just take our time, because it's only us. Take our time and let's discuss it as we need to, right? If
it's
a question pops to your mind.
Is this us three tonight?
Just us three. So we can have Holy Ghost field time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
All right. Verse 5. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh of the they not in heart. Who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring up Christ again from the dead.
Right. Stay there. Did that just help to quantify what we were talking about in verse 4? So here's how I interpret that. But Moses described the righteous, verse 5. Moses described the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which lives by that law, right, has to stay in that law, right? Creates his own hypocrisy, right? So the person that's telling everybody they should do something has to be doing it themselves, right?
Yeah.
Then he goes on to say, but the righteousness which is of faith, which is the part that says to everyone that believe what? Believeth by faith in Jesus Christ, I think is what he's trying to share with us, right?
Yeah.
But the righteousness of faith, it just speaks like this. Quit trying to figure out who's going to heaven and who's going to hell.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because all you're doing is, if you try to figure out who's going, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, all you're doing is bringing Christ down to say, crucify him all over again, because if he did it, if the job was done completely by him on the cross, then in all reality, in the very last inkling or moment of someone's life, if they sincerely call upon the name of the Lord, they get to be saved. And they may have been wrong all of the rest of their life.
Yes.
So he's saying you can't really judge it, because it's really pending where a person goes, and they've got all the way up to the last breath that they speak to find themselves being saved, right? I think that's where he's going, right? So watch what he goes on to say. Verse 7, or who shall descend into the deep? Who's going into hell again? All you're doing is trying to bring Christ down again from the dead, or bring him back up from the dead. Watch verse 8. But what is it saying? That the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we're preaching. Verse 9, that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
That's it.
Isn't that interesting? So as we sit here and discuss this, I can tell you what I've learned from it. And I learned, the revelation I got from it was how smart God was and how wise he is, that he left everyone's salvation after the cross in their own mouth.
That's it.
So someone asked me the other day, they said, I said something. I said, yeah, everybody's saved, but everybody hasn't accepted their salvation. And these are some theologians, people who study the word, so forth and so on. And one of them turned to me and said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, really, you don't understand that? He says, no, I don't. I said, so when Christ got on the cross, he said, he died for all men, right? And he said, yeah. I said, that means everybody's saved. And the whole difference between who we are today and who they are today is really in their own profession. The fact that they never accepted and opened their own mouth, because out of their own mouth, they moved from the world into the kingdom with a word. Yes. They can move from a worldly life into a kingdom life just by speaking some words and being sincere about them. And so that's how I perceive that scripture. What do you all get from it?
Now, that's good how you put it. But, especially today, in the times that we live in, a lot of just comes out of the mouth and is not sincere. Like you said, mm-hmm. maybe when you say it has to be sincere, that's why it has to be in your heart sincerely that you believe. Then you profess it out your mouth. But we live in a day where, you know, people just talk. They say what sounds good or what makes them look good, and it's not really serious. They really don't believe what they say. I hate to say this way, but I believe from what I experience in speaking to people, most of them don't really believe in their heart. That's the main thing. Because we're just talking. I mean, that's what we do today. It's cool to just say things and not even understanding what we're saying. That's the era we're in. It's just we repeat what we hear, and we don't really be serious about what we're doing and saying and the way we live. It's like we live in a world. Yeah, it's not. It's a mirage. You know, it's, most people I know today, and I hate to say this, but it's the truth. For an example, when I used to go clubbing and out in the worldly things, mm-hmm. I would go out to the club and I would say, meet a young lady, right?
Yep.
Nice look, nails done, nice outfit, shoes, and nice car even.
Mm-hmm.
But once I get to her house, I see the way she lives for real, because now I'm stepping over mattresses, and it's all, you know, it's not. So when you go out in public,
come on, you talk that faith without works. It's a 2-in-1. Literally,
that's
you can confess it, but your actions is what.
There you go.
The proof is in the pudding with the action.
Yeah, it was a facade. It was a fake, and mm-hmm. that's how most people are today. There's no mm-hmm. authenticity. It's people wear masks. They're afraid to be mm-hmm. themselves. They want to be what they see. It's no mm-hmm. authentic type of personalities anymore. So I say all that just to say that, you know, the most important thing is to believe in your heart. Now you have the authority to confess with your mouth.
Mm.
But most got it backwards. You know, it's like we always say, it's backwards when you're worldly. Mm. And, you know, I don't know. Even the rap music. Most rappers, they talk about real, even everyday talk on the real. And and for real. And they even go so far to say, oh, God. They say things in their conversation when they're telling the truth. So any other time, they're saying it 95% of the time, they're not telling the truth. So they want to put some information on it. Look, now, on my mama, I'm telling the truth. You know, so we live in that era where it's not, you'd be a fool to believe it. And I'm just talking about having conversation, everyday conversation. But it's sorry to say, but even in the church.
He gave us more context to go with that when he said, judge a tree by the fruit it bears. So we just, you know, literally can't go. And the fruit is taking that time to watch. How is it really going down? You know, you practicing what you preaching, like, because the confession is.
That's even tricky.
Like, everybody that say, Lord, Lord, ain't going to make it in.
Amen. That's for real. And it's tricky. You can have some people that's feeding the homeless, feeding the hungry, doing a charity work. But we got to look at the intention. Because most people want likes. Most people want fame and pats on the back. So a lot of times today, 2025, that's not even genuine. So we only can discern the spirit of a person by the spirit, not necessarily by what they're doing, because it could be trickery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what you said, my brother, when you said, like, if a person can wear that facade, where you're looking on the outward, when you know that don't none of that line up with the will of Yah. But if you go at somebody's house, you know what I'm saying, when we know he said to be faithful over a few things and he'll make us rule over many, like, you know, is your house really clean? Are you taking care of those things that people can't see, you know, unless they get the keys to be in? Are you cussing your kids out at home, you know what I'm saying, behind closed doors?
That's it. Right. And it's the same thing with our bodies. See, you know, when you go out in public, people see you. That's why it's public. So, you know, you got this outfit on, your jewelry, but you living in a one bedroom shack and you look like you got a bunch of money, but you really don't have nothing. But don't nobody see your home, but they see you when you come out in public. So you got an $8,000 car, but you renting this little shack. It's, you know, it's not about, it's about the publicity. And it's the same thing with our bodies. Our bodies is our home. So what's on the inside of that, not what's on the outside of that.
Yes, how you treat people, how you show up for people, all of it is real. You can look, be the finest person, because people give people a lot of credit for stuff that they ain't even responsible for. Yeah, you might have a big butt, but that's just genetics. You ain't did nothing for that. You got it natural, but everybody giving you props and act like that's something. You ain't worked for that.
That's the truth.
Your good looks, too. You ain't worked for that. You ain't responsible for that. Let's talk about something you're responsible for. How you treating people, how you loving people, how you showing up for people, those are the things we should be judged by. And then people looking at the wrong things, like, that person ain't even responsible for.
Yeah, it's turned out.
What you getting caught up on.
Sister Wanda. Question. So, because what you brought to mind is something that's been taking place the last probably about a week or two in my life, and I'm watching it and I'm going, God, what are you really showing me? So go back to the real person, right? I think that Brother Waller is saying that people prefer the facade, right? They have a public personality. And so they have a facade as a public personality, but the reality of the private personality can be so very different, right? That's what he just said. And then you talked about if the person who sincerely is out helping people and doing the works of God and feeding the poor, clothing the naked, doing those things, but with a sincere heart, right? That's part of this. So the last couple of weeks, I have had some people calling me, and I'm going to say these are pastors, right? Some of them I recently met, some I've known for a while. And what I thought was interesting was that one of them called me and said, I'm getting ready to go and to do this for the ministry. I'm going to preach in this particular community. It's going to, you know, it's a trip for him. Several hundred miles that he had to drive in order to go do that particular preaching, so forth and so on. And then he says, however, I don't have any money. Watch where I'm giving it go. And would you happen to know anybody that's willing to contribute, right, so I can continue up this road doing this work? Then recently, right after that was the first thing that sort of kind of struck my attention, and I started praying about it and asking God, talk to me for a minute, because that didn't feel right to me first. Got it? Second thing that was said to me was another pastor that's a good friend of that pastor then asked him for some help for something he was doing. And then they sent out a text message to multiple pastors saying, this pastor needs $1,000 to pay rent. Now, he's the pastor of a church. with the congregation. In fact, I think he took over for the pastor that passed before him, right?
And we're
saying to ourselves, these are the works of God, right? And so I picked up the phone and called them because I was confused, right? I was confused, and I said, well, you know, is this pastor looking for money to pay for the rent on the church? Is that what that's about? Because he's got a church. There's a church. There's the people. There's a congregation. There's saints. I said, is that person looking for money for paying for the rent of the church? And then the response was, no, they need rent to pay for their rent. And they're looking for $1,000 and wondering how many of us can help them to do that. And of course, my next natural question was, what does he do? I mean, what's his gainful employment? What is he? And he says, no, he sort of turned himself over to God. He left his gainful employment to do full-time ministry.
Well, who told him to do it?
According to them, God did. Right? Because, of course, I asked that question. Well, why did he do that? Well, because the Lord led him in that direction, and that's what he did. So, right, going back to both you and Brother Tavon's statements, right, how do you see that? What does the Spirit say to you about that circumstance?
He's the God of order. Our Father is a Yah of order. What he ordains, he maintains. And then it goes right back to what we just said. You got to be a good steward. You be faithful over a few things, he'll make you ruler over many. If you ain't able to pay your rent at home, how you going out to do something for somebody else? Because you got to practice what you preach. All in order. You can't go and tell somebody else to have some money for something and then yours ain't in order. I'm just saying, and I got faith to know that he'll provide what we need, but you gotta have the testimony to say it too. Like, it's you gotta all be working together. He ain't gonna have you out there like that. And some stuff we can do on our own, and we can use his name and say he told us to do it. That's what it'll go into to for me. Like, because I really know that Yah ain't going to leave us nor forsake us. He said he never seen his seed begging bread. He ain't never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And if we doing what he told us to do, all of that's going to fall in place if we doing what he told us to do, not what we said we finna do, and then use his name on top of it.
Okay. Brother Tavon, what are you doing?
So I kind of missed the part. I heard about the $1,000. Go ahead. I'm kind of missed, like,
I'm being cautious about how I explain it, because I don't it's the Spirit, not the people, and I want to make sure I don't use names. We want to deal with what the Spirit is. So the pastor, right, and it's a group of them. The first pastor was going out to do some evangelizing in some other communities, has been doing it off and on. And then that pastor sent in saying, hey, you know any people that can help to support the ministry that I'm in? Because I'm going from here all the way out to Texas, preaching to people and helping people to find salvation in Christ. And so that kind of caught my attention. And then the part that caught my attention was that you're needing money for something that, just as Sister Wanda said, for something that you're saying God has called you to do. Because one of the things that and I'm talking to you all because you're leadership level. And so you have to be able to think leadership level, because the devil is going to try to trap you and trick you with some of these very same things. And I've learned that.
And so, you know, one of the things that I know is if God gives you a vision, God is responsible for the provision.
That's right.
Definitely. If you are not a good steward, then you find yourself in those circumstances because that's why Jesus said, what man buildeth a house without first counting up the cost? And so there's no way in the world I'm going to do something and don't know if I can afford to go and get it done, or God has not already placed a provision for when I get there so that I can get back. Does that make sense?
Yes, 100%.
And so that's kind of the details in this. And then after that person sort of kind of made that request, and I'm looking at it going, and I, of course, gave him, because the Bible says, watch what your Bible says, give to every man that asks of you. But Jesus was wise enough to not tell us what to give them. Sometimes people need direction. Sometimes they need correction. Sometimes they just need prayer. They think they need money. Sometimes they need somebody to tell them something's wrong with what you're doing. Stop.
Yeah.
You should reevaluate the circumstance. So that was the first. And then probably within a week, I received a text message that went out to several pastors saying, oh, this particular pastor is in need of help to pay rent. And that's as simple as they tell me. And you know, my curiosity and the way the Lord has framed me in the way that I think, I picked up the phone and said, what kind of rent is he trying to pay? And I said, is it the rent on the church? Because I know it's the pastor. He's fairly new as a pastor. But, you know, is it the church that he needs help with? And the person said, no, it's their rent at home. Right? And so these people are doing good. They're doing godly work. What I'm asking is, do you think God is behind the work, though?
He needed rent money for home?
Rent money for home. Not the church.
Wow.
Most I ain't gonna take him off his job if he got the income for his rent, because what do you think that's been?
Hey, Brother DeWan, God bless you. Thank you for joining. Go ahead, Sister Wanda.
There's some people doing something out of their own flesh.
No, that's for real. Yeah. Big time.
So, Brother DeWan, we're in Romans, the 10th chapter, and we're finishing up from last week. We're sort of talking about some things, though, because we have Sister Wanda and Brother Tavon here, and I think the Lord has got me making sure I do some training into them, because really, Brother Tavon, you're going to be, if you pray about it and ask the Lord, we're going to have you do more on the Bible studies. That's what the Lord has been saying to me. We've got a young man at New Covenant Church of Christ that we want to train how to be a deacon. And I think the Lord is asking me to do some things to train up Sister Hawanda. However, and please hear this from the spirit that I'm giving it, especially for the two of you. However, as a man of God that's been in this community, at least Madison, for a while, I've seen a lot of things that I can look at and say, this is not God doing this. That's why we're here. This is not God doing it. But the hard thing is when it comes at you and you have this sheep's heart and don't know how to walk away from it. Amen. Right.
Yes, amen. Yes.
It's not that it's happening. We know it's happening. The Bible says there'll be false prophets and all false preachers, false messages, all that stuff. All that stuff. Yes. But do we know how to deal with it? And what do you do in a case like that? And that's why I bring it up. That's why I ask you, what do you think? Because how would you walk away from it? How would you direct it? How would you have, what would you do should those things happen to you? Get it?
Well, that guy that needed the money for his home.
Mm-hmm.
And you said he's doing ministry though, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said he was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. I commend him. At least he was honest.
Mm-hmm.
At least he was honest saying he needed help at home because he could have tried to switch it up and blame it on something else, you know. But for me, correct me if I'm wrong for thinking this way, but for me, people is just people, you know. If I can help a person, whether they're homeless, whether who doesn't matter if they're in the ministry, a pastor, or whatever, I'll help them, you know, regardless of what it is that they're trying to do. I just when I see the manipulation, that's when I will back off. You know, I will be cautious, and they probably won't get as much help as they could have, but I'll still try to help them. But lo and behold, I'll see it. And I always got my eyes open for it. My eyes are really my ears and my heart. You know, I'm not really looking, like we were just talking about, I'm not really looking at a person's physical. I'm looking at the spirit that's behind the whole thing. Like,
trying the spirit by the spirit, yeah.
There you go. So, and I get it. So I'm not religious. So, you know, it don't really move me if they say I'm doing this for God, or God told me to do this, because everything should be done because God told you to do it. That's how I look at it anyway. Now, I commend people that's in the ministry and that's doing the work for God. That's I see the difference. But to help, I'll try to help whoever I can when I can. But, you know, I always try to notice when they're trying to finesse me, as they would say today, or try to be slick, and you know, and then they'll probably get the minimum, if that. So,
but I also discerned, like what Pastor was saying as well, because sometimes it ain't for you to give financially. Maybe you that person
that's
he's
so
using
true.
To give them what other people might be afraid to tell them. And say,
so
hey, something right here is not right, you know.
So true.
Especially you using it in the context of like that the Most High Yah told you to get out, lay off of your job, and like he already know ain't nothing gonna fall out the sky. We know that he gonna take care of, you know, he said he never seen the righteous forsaken. So he's a Yah of order, and to me that's all out of order, because if you can't pay your rent and you over a ministry, how can you teach them about anything? So there's somewhere that some stewardship is not working.
It's not, that's
it's
true.
It's not mapping
so
with the way that we know that our Father's mapped.
No, that's so true. And that's good though, because that's the way I think though. For like truly. Because
so Nathan, God bless you. Sorry, about
no.
God
okay.
bless you, so good, Betty.
Mm-hmm.
All right, don't talk then. We don't care.
All right,
we love you.
So, in this natural world, it's a few different currencies. One of the currency is monetary. You know, money. That's what most people are looking for, and that's what they think help is. But true help is always information. True help is always information. It's always knowledge. And in the spirit realm, the currency, the money, is knowledge. The more knowledge you have, the more currency you have. So true help is always going to be some information to help somebody get out the circumstance that they're in. Because you can give somebody some money, and they could still be in the same
end up in the same situation next month. Because no, it's not falling out the sky, buddy. No,
that's right, dude. That's the way I think. So that help is always information. Always
information. Now let me go back to why I bring that up. Also, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter. 1 Timothy the 3rd chapter. Sister Evangelist Mason, we are in Romans, the 10th chapter. We're going back there, but I want to go over this with Sister Hovanda and Brother Devon.
and this is also for you too. Actually, this is leadership scripture.
You said Romans 10?
No, Romans 10 is where we are. We're not finishing up that chapter, but currently mm-hmm. we're in Timothy, the third mm-hmm. chapter. Mm-hmm. I want to read this because we were dealing with a circumstance. Because leadership.
Okay, 1 Timothy.
Uh-huh, 1 Timothy, the okay. third chapter.
Got it.
Leadership in the church is always mm-hmm. going to be challenged. And the reason it's going to be challenged is because you have no, remember we just read in Romans, how is it to, what is it for you to say who goes to heaven and who doesn't, or who goes
yeah.
back into the
city? Yeah.
And so the difficult part of leadership or doing the work of God is trying to discern who's sincere because people wear masks, which is what Brother Tavon was saying, there's masks on. There's facades, there's a lot. And people use those facades even in the house of God.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They put more facades on in the house of God than they do any place else. That's why when you go out of the church, you can hear them going, "What up, dog? What up, baby boy?" And it is those people. And when they're in church, they praise the Lord and amen.
Yes.
Because anybody can learn the language of church. Just like if you hung around some lawyers, you would learn the language of legalese. If you hung around doctors, you would learn medicalese. When you hang around saints, you're going to learn spiritualese.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so it becomes important to be able to pay attention to something that Sister Hawanda said, which is what are the signs? What is the tree has to be looked at by the fruit that it's bearing. Praise the Lord. So watch what's being taught in 1 Timothy 3rd chapter. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this. He says, this is a true saying, verse 1, that if a man desires the office of bishop, and that's a transitional statement, meaning bishop, pastor, evangelist, minister, if you are an usher, you've got an office in God that's big. It is an honor and a privilege to have an office in God. It's an honor and a privilege. It's a calling. It's a big responsibility, and it has to be handled responsibly. So when people have masks on, they sometimes handle this wonderful responsibility through the mass, and it becomes a problem. And it becomes church. And it becomes church usury. And it becomes, right? And the one thing that we never want to do, saints of God, men and women of God, the one thing you never want to do is you never want to hurt the anointed people God sent to make your life better. Just so long. I don't care, if you slip up and go out there and punch somebody in the eye, you can repent of that. You slip up and go and steal some stuff out of the store, you can repent of that. You slip up and you go out and you lie to your neighbor, you can repent of that. But God ain't letting you repent of the people you hurt. You're going to have to go back and say, "I'm sorry to them."
Come on.
It's very important that we get this. So watch this. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of bishop, pastor, teacher, preacher, whatever it is that you do, evangelist, fivefold ministry, usher, it doesn't matter, right? Then the person must be blameless. They're going to say that office means you have to be the husband of one wife. And this is very important because up to this particular scripture, believe it or not, there is no other sickness that a person can have but one wife. Did anybody hear that? Up to this scripture, most of the men of God had 2-3 wives, 4 wives, 18 kids, all the different wives, but they were still the husband of all those wives. They weren't making babies and moving on. And all the ridiculous stuff we do today, right? So anyway, says a husband and one wife, you have to be vigilant. Vigilant means what?
Tough-minded.
Observant.
Say it again.
Observing, being able to manage and watch it, not just what you want to, but see everything that's going on around you.
Yes, that's right.
Given to hospitality. And watch this last one. And you have to be apt, wanting to, able to teach. Now, let's talk about New Covenant leadership for a moment.
Yes.
New Covenant Church and every church was not meant to be a charitable institution. I know that's going to throw you off a little bit.
Say that again.
Churches were not really meant to be charitable institutions. Churches were meant to be teaching institutions that give charity.
Did you
get that?
Yeah.
Right.
And going back to what you said, because the first responsibility of leadership is to teach a person out of what's causing them to be in this circumstance.
Come on.
That's why the Bible says, teach, speak all things in love. And sometimes speaking in love means I got to tell you that you're messing up. We have to tell people you're messing up. Here's why. Everybody with me on this so far?
Yes.
This is going to relate back to the other people that we were talking about. Sister Ruby, God bless you. Thank you for joining. We're right now, Sister Ruby, we're in 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and we're reading through something that's very important for church leadership and very important for us to all be on the same page about it as a church body. Right? Can you hear us?
Okay. Yes, I can.
Praise the Lord. So he starts off by saying, first off, this is the truth I'm saying, just like Paul did in Romans 9. I speak the truth in Christ, I lie not. He's saying the same thing. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. If a man desires to go to God, if a man desires the office of a bishop or any office of the church, he desires a good work, right? And that's the real good work, right? Taking care of God's people. And as leadership, when you understand that the minute you commit yourself to take care of God's people, God sort of through reciprocity commits himself to take care of your people. And a lot of people don't get that concept. They believe that they can give God their free time instead of their time. Let me give God what I want to hand him. I happen to not be busy on Monday and Tuesday, and if something happens, then I'll do it on Monday and Tuesday. But a lot of times, God will call you, and this is the stewardship part, because if you don't get this part about the stewardship, you never get the whole package from God. You get pieces and parts of favor. You get pieces and parts of blessings. You get pieces and parts of things, and so you never see the full blessing, because I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt, there is not one person in the kingdom that God means for them to be in poverty, to be broke, to be hopeless, to be helpless. He never meant that. It doesn't make sense for somebody to go back so that you can have a miserable life. It just doesn't, right? So he goes on, he says, this is a true thing. If a man desires the office of the bishop in the office, he must be blameless, right? Blameless, meaning, if people are constantly coming at me saying I'm doing something wrong, I need to pay attention to it, because they're blaming me. And that means that I have to be willing to alter things at all times. The husband of one wife, vigilant, paying attention to everything around, sober, of good behavior given to hospitality, and able to teach. Able to teach people. Now watch the beauty of this. And I was teaching on this on Sunday. 90% of your experiences in life are God's way of equipping you to teach in ministry.
Amen.
There's no person in the world that can talk to some prostitutes about how to come out of prostitution Better than someone that's been delivered from being a prostitute.
Come on, that's it.
That's right.
And this is an amazing thing to me because I've listened to and I see so many gifts and so much power in our little church that people have not yet ascended to the power by understanding what God has done in it, right? Because most people are trying to forget their past. What God is really saying, no, forget the pain of the past, but don't forget the lessons of the past.
Mm-hmm.
The lessons are what make you wise.
Mm-hmm.
The part that gives you wisdom and give you the ability to teach. Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So if I've been in the penitentiary and I get delivered from that, the only way I'm going to really get delivered from going back and forth into the penitentiary is when God opens my heart and my mind up and allows me to see why I have a propensity to do wrong. If I can't see that part, then I can't help to deliver other people from it because I won't face it. Right?
I won't
ask myself why I have this strong desire to carry a gun in my back pocket, because there's a whole lot of church folks with pistols in their pockets. Praise the Lord. And some pastors. Got pistols on their hip because they're so afraid that something will happen to them, but they don't realize they haven't dealt with their past. They haven't faced their past. Because for me to carry a pistol means
I'm walking.
Anybody listening to what I'm saying? Is this making sense?
Yes.
So he goes on to talk about, so be aptitude. Go back and use your experiences to be a blessing to other people, right? There are some women in this church and in every church, and not specifically ours, in every church. If you had four or five babies by different people, you should, through the deliverance and the Holy Ghost, you should be able to realize what drew you into that madness. There's some men that have had, you know, same thing with a man. It's no different. And you should be able to realize, man, I had a lust issue so big, everything that moved, I wanted to move on it. And God is trying to deliver us into the knowledge of our wrong, so that the knowledge of our wrong becomes the teaching from that wrong. But if I can't face it, if I can't handle it in my heart and look at myself and go, no, I'm really a sinner. And that goes back to the faith part, right, that you were talking about, Brother Tabon, to be able to really meet it in my heart. I have to be able to see that I was a sinner. I don't mean to be able to write off I did a few bad things in my life. Justification of sinner, right? Justified sinner, right? I was doing a few bad things. I didn't really do anything wrong. I mean, it was I only stole it because my kids needed food, and I stole some bread. That's justified sin.
Yes.
Anybody get
that? Yes.
But when I stop justifying, then I stop the devil from just lying to my mind. And I have to be honest with myself and say, no, I just didn't want to earn what I needed to get. So I was just this person. Right? And the minute that I can identify it in me, I can identify it in other people. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
See it on folk because I saw it on me now. Everybody get what I'm saying? So he goes on and says, the person also has to not be given to wine, right? Not given to wine, right? Nor a striker. Maybe a person who wants to beat on his wife, or a wife who wants to beat on her husband verbally or physically. Can't be greedy when it comes down to money. Filthy lucre. But patient, not a brawler, and cannot be covetous. Somebody define what that covetous part means, because that's very important. I'm talking to leadership on this phone today. Leadership.
Desiring what other people have, looking in people's doors.
Yes.
whether they women's or they husbands or they wives or they cars or they clothes or things, you know, all the way around wanting what somebody else has.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Only what somebody else has. I think that's the bottom line defining of it. That's the bottom line definition. Wanting what somebody else has. Can people in the church get envious of somebody else's gift?
Yes, they can.
That's coveting.
Yes, it is.
And I don't preach like that person, or you know that person. You know, I went up and preached, and then that person came up and preached, and people were jumping and shouting, and now I'm angry that that person preached. That is not. That's not leadership material.
No, it's not.
Right. Absolutely.
It's praise jealous material. Right.
It is not leadership material. That is somebody that's still wearing a mask.
Yes.
Because God cleans us up from that. All we want to see is the kingdom grow and people get blessed. That's what leadership does. Yes. Kingdom grow, people get blessed. Let me see some people come out of their mess and move into a place where they're absolutely blessed and know how to function and know what they're supposed to do. And that's why we have to be apt to teach, right? So let's keep doing that. Now, here's the point that we were talking about earlier, what's about it. Then he goes on to say, one that ruleth well their own house, having their children in subjection with all gravity, because if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how does that person take care of the church of God?
See, that's what you were just talking about. That's what you were just talking about with the guy that needed the help with the rent. So I don't know if he has a church, but we first got everything.
This person has a church. At least that's what I've been told. I don't know. I've not been there, but that's what I've been told. The person has a church. And I'm saying, how in the world then can you be in that condition? Why would you not? Wouldn't your congregation make sure that that takes place?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that tells us something's wrong there, right?
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
We're gonna go back to Romans 10. Go back to Romans 10, please, everyone, because I want to continue the Bible study as we go through the scriptures, but. This is just specifically for Brother Tavon, Sister Hawanda, and also for Sister Mason, Evangelist Mason. This is very important. So when someone comes into the church declaring a need, first, the church is a teaching institution. Secondarily, the church is a charitable institution. We have to teach people out of what they're dealing with. And the best way to teach people out of what they're dealing with is to ask questions about how they got there.
Amen.
Yes.
Why are you in that circumstance? What happened? Okay. And having the ear of discernment so that you can filter through what they want you to hear versus what God is trying to get you to hear.
Yes.
Because they're going to want you to hear something that favors them, but God will allow you to hear what favors him so you'll know what to give, right? And again, sometimes people need prayer. Sometimes they need direction. Sometimes they need correction. That's why the Bible says an open rebuke is good. Sometimes they just need a correction. And in love, not a judgment. A correction, a gentle nudging to go in this direction instead of that direction. On Sunday, we were talking about this in the service, and we said, we were explaining the revelation of the seven fat cows that ate up the seven skinny cows, and after they ate up the seven skinny cows, I'm sorry, the seven skinny cows ate up the seven fat cows, and after they ate up the fat cows, they didn't even have a bulge in their belly, they stayed skinny. And this is important because as the people of God, we must pay attention to the people that are growing that you're putting effort into and the people who ignore what you put that effort into and then literally don't change anything and you've been putting effort into them for years.
Come on.
Mm, yes, that part. that's what I'm dealing with right now.
You poured prayer in. You poured in fasting. You poured in hanging out with them, take them dinner, sit back and call me and talk to me on the phone. You pour time into them. And yet 2 years later, they don't change not one iota.
Wow.
You have permission from God to stop pouring. Amen. Did the leadership people hear that?
Yes, sir, because you casted your pearls among swine.
Yes.
Glory to God. Thank you, Sister Wanda. All right, let's go back to Romans, the 10th chapter. And we left off, I think, at verse, what, 8?
8. 9. We read 8. We read 9, too.
Okay, let's start. Let's go to verse 10, and let's break that down. Let's see what everybody hears with that. Go ahead, Brother Tavon.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed.
All right.
For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Whosoever shall call upon him, the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Whosoever. Right.
Whosoever.
So is he saying, right? Let's examine it for a moment. So as the conservative Christian movement goes, right? They are, you know, we need to do something about abortions. They're now taking down flags for people who want to declare themselves as homosexual, LGBTQ. They're removing DEI, right? There's even now now an executive order being sent over to the Smithsonian Institute to say, take down Black history. Get all the Black history exhibits up out of that place because it's dividing us. We're aware of that, right? That's happening. Think yesterday, put that executive order out to get rid of Black history. Right. Dismiss that. Take it out the books. So LGBTQ, right? DEI, as a believer, and these people believe they're doing God's work. You do know that, right? They really believe they're doing God's work. So as a church and as believers and saints of God, do we have the right to? What should we do with LGBTQ? What do we think when it comes down to abortions? And I'll go around the room. I'll start with Sister Ruby. Any thoughts? It's a good question, right? Sister Ruby?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. I'm driving. What was the question?
So you know, this conservative Christian movement is about they want to get rid of anything LGBTQ. They're getting rid of DEI. They want to get rid of every abortion clinic. As saints of God, do we agree with that? Is that right?
No.
Is that the right way to go?
I would have to say that, no. I mean, personally, I don't agree with it, and I would hope that the saints wouldn't either.
Okay. All right. Sister Ruby says, no, she doesn't agree with that. Sister Mason? Evangelist? You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, mm-hmm. Your thoughts?
Abortion? You said, what do we do about abortion?
So they're getting rid of abortion clinics because they are Christians. The people that are saying close them down, shut them down, shut down those things because they're Christians. Are they right? Is that the right thing to do?
No, they're not.
No.
Okay. Why do you say so?
Well, as far as having abortions, I don't condone it. I don't condone it. I don't believe in it. But you know, you have people out here. They make their choices, and they do what they want to do with their own bodies, in spite of what God said. To be fruitful and multiply. I truly believe when he said that he meant, bearing children, which what's the word I want to use? Replenishing, as far as, human life. So you said they're getting rid of them?
Oh, absolutely. Even yesterday's election, state Supreme Court was about a gentleman by the name of Brad Schimel and Susan Crawford. Brad Schimel is a Trump advocate supported by Elon Musk. They put a lot of money behind it because they knew Brad Schimel was good in the state Supreme Court. And then they sent the law down that said, start locking women up. They go to get an abortion, lock up the doctors. They're trying to do that now. They want to lock the doctors up for performing an abortion, even if the person has been raped, operating table or the delivery table. Let the baby be born, let the grown up die. This is the conservative Christian movement that's taking place. So they believe.
Right.
Or they're saying it's okay for us as believers and saints to enforce what we believe on the entire country. You get it?
Right. You know what? I always had a question about that. I know a lot of us, we don't believe in abortions. I don't know. If it happens, it happens, and, we're going to allow God to do what he do. If it's not meant for that life to come here, then God will allow that life to not be brought into this world. But, just say, for instance, a woman gets raped multiple times and she end up conceiving. I had a question about that. Like, what do you do? Do the woman have the child? Because some women love know that they're having life growing inside them and they're going to be a mommy to a child. Some people would look past the fact that how that child was conceived and still allow that child to come in and hope and pray that anything, passed down, that it's not carried on into the child. And some people choose to abort. I'm totally against abortion. Like I said, there's people out here that's gonna make a decision concerning their bodies and how they feel and their emotions and all that. So yeah.
Amen. All right, thank you. And then we'll sort of summarize everything, but I want to go to everybody else. Brother DeJuan, what are your thoughts? Should we be doing that as the body of Christ? Is that the right thing to do?
Nope.
Why?
I had another brother on the way, but we didn't make it. I would have another younger brother on the way up, but it's not right. Not good at all.
Okay.
Not, not,
I think the hard thing about, oh, I'm sorry, somebody was still speaking. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Yeah. It's not right. They'll birth somebody. Somebody, a seed, somebody's stomach or whatever. Yep. Not right.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Brother DeWitt, I think what you're saying, Brother Tavon, that's your phone doing it. So I think what you're
that's
saying,
my phone?
Yeah, for some reason, there's a sound coming through it. I don't know why. Just mute it for a second, please. So, Brother DeWine, you're saying you don't believe in abortion, just the same as Sister Benson was saying. Clay said the same thing, I think, pretty much the same thing. And I'm going to continue to go around the room, but Sister Clay, you had something you wanted to share?
I think I've ran across this conversation a lot of times where, you know, I think as, you know, Christians or believers, we all know, you know, that the Bible says that, you know, that basically there's no, I can't find anything in the Bible that explicitly says that abortion shouldn't happen. There's plenty of scriptures that talk about multiplying and having kids. But I do know that there are circumstances and situations like what everybody else is sharing that I think it's in Exodus where it talks about if it came down to the mama and a child, then it explicitly say that the mom lives. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So I think what I'm saying is in certain situations, the Bible, it's acceptable. Does that? Am I saying it right, Pastor?
Yes, ma'am. I think you're expressing yourself very well. And I'm going to show you a scripture in a minute so that we get there. I just want to make sure that I hear it. Because what I haven't heard yet is what no one has said, well, I don't believe in abortion because the Bible says thou shalt not kill. We're saying what we think, which is fine.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that it does say thou shalt not kill. And if it's a,
Yeah, so you did well. Now let me go over to Brother. Were you doing Sister Clay? Sister Ruby?
What did you say, Pastor? What did I
were
say
you
that? Through?
Yeah, were you finished?
Oh, yes, I'm done. I'm done, yeah. I'm done.
All right, thank you. All right, Brother Waller? I think you have yourself on mute, Tavon. Unmute yourself, please.
Oh, yeah. I'm here. So we just asked, do I believe in abortion? That wasn't the question, was it?
The question is a little deeper than that. I'm glad you said that because maybe I'm not making it plain. The question is a little deeper than that. So the question is coming from the fact that right now, the people that are sitting in office in the White House, the Republicans, we do know they're all supposed to be conservative Christians. They're all church folk. The Republicans. The Democrats are called considered liberals, right? Because they're more progressive, thinking the world is changing and we need to allow ourselves to flow with the change of the world. The progressives are conservative. The word conservative is used because they're saying we don't want anything to change, which is why they're willing to roll back time back into the 50s. They wouldn't mind seeing black folks run around with, you know, shoe shine rags and everything else, if it had to be, so long as America is great again, the way they want it to be, right? So the question is a little deeper than just, do we believe in abortion? The question goes to the point of, do we believe that these are Christians? These are supposed to be our brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm. And they're saying, we're shutting down every abortion center. We're going to reverse DEI. We're going to diversity, equity, and inclusion. We're going to we're going to make every person wearing with an LGBTQ flag take it down. They're writing laws to make it happen. Got it?
Yes.
So my question is, are they right? Are we to flow with that? Should we be part of that as a church and say, yeah, we stand behind them? right?
Okay, that's not my turn. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I don't believe we should send it. See, my own opinion now. We are in the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
A kingdom is a government.
Mm-hmm.
So me personally, I'm not under that government.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quote unquote Caesar's government.
Okay.
That's Caesar's laws.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm not saying that we shouldn't. Well, I don't even know if we should. I don't even know if we should so much even fight against it. I think it's more so about preaching the word of God, preaching about the kingdom of God, and who we can get because the world is the world. I don't think we can do nothing with it. So we are under a kingdom, and the true church, that evil won't prevail. That's what I think God's people should know. It's more so, it's two different, it's a battle going on here. It's the kingdom of light and it's the kingdom of darkness right here on earth. So this government that Jesus brought on his shoulders is our government that we're under, not Caesar.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to go to Sister Yarber.
I kind of agree with Brother Saban and what he's saying, and I feel like we should stick to what the words say, and we ain't gonna be led wrong as long as we stick to what the word says. And also, I feel like they want to play Yah in this situation because they want to take away freedom of choice. Regardless of whatever somebody is choosing, we get to choose. You know, and whoever side they choosing to choose on, it's up to them and how they have to answer to the Most High for it. But freedom of choice should not be taken away.
Amen. That's the whole point. So, as a believing body that is following the scriptures as well as the example that Christ set for us. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You'll get some of these scriptures are in your Bible. Watch this. You're in the world, but you're not of it.
That's right.
Let's go back to Romans 10. Watch this. Verse 6. The righteousness which is of faith speaks like this. I don't have to sit around saying in my heart, who's going to go to heaven? Because all that does is bring Christ back down from above. Or who shall end up in hell, descended to the deep, because all it does is bring Christ again up from the dead.
Mm.
So the problem with that thinking, and that's what religion is, the problem with that thinking is, no, we do not agree with abortion because the Bible said, Jesus said, thou shalt not kill. He meant that. So that is killing. But I don't have the right to go over to your house and tell you how to make what should be a free choice.
Mm-hmm.
You have to answer to God for that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the right to sit back and tear down your LGBTQ flag because you choose homosexuality when God says it's an abomination before him.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to answer to God for this.
Yeah.
Right? That's why what's in Revelations, and the dead has to give up its life. Hell has to give up the dead. The seas have to give up the dead. Everything has to give up the dead so it can be judged out of the books. That's why this is here. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we as the body of Christ, let me give you a great example. I had somebody put on our Facebook page just yesterday, he wrote this statement. He said, everybody preaching, but why our rates ain't getting no better?
Wow, what?
Put that on our Facebook. Everybody out there preaching, calling themselves preaching. I don't know who the guy is. I've never heard his name and never seen him before. Everybody calling themselves preaching. However, our race ain't got no better. And so I asked the Lord, what do you say to this guy? And he said, tell him the truth. And I said, oh, okay. So I went back to his, and I replied, and I said, brother, I feel your pain. Mm-hmm. However, when people come into the church where preaching is going on, it is an individual calling so that the individual can actually finish a race and win it.
Come on.
Got nothing to do with a race. Got everything to do with the individual's that's why he says, if you would confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart, he didn't say if the whole community did.
The one thing
that you can be selfish about, everything else in the world, God asks you to be selfless over. You're giving, you're loving people, right? Agape love, share love with every man, every woman, it doesn't matter what they did to you, forgiveness of all people, that's all selflessness. The one thing that God asks us to be selfish about is our personal relationship with God. I have to, anybody or anything that begins to take that relationship away from me, it has to go.
Amen.
Pass it.
I gotta go in this men's group, but I got a question before I get off. So with this government doing those things, what do we do as a church?
Praise the Lord. That is the question. Everybody agree that's a good question?
Yeah, great question, Devon.
Yeah.
So now let me go back. You answered the question before you ever asked it. Now, you are a kingdom citizen. That's why he said you're not in the world anymore.
Amen.
You're in that world, but you're not of that world because you're now in this world.
That's right.
Our responsibility is to do specifically what the Bible tells us to do and be accountable for our personal relationship. Not be accountable for what Joe does across the street or what Hilda does or what Ethel did or what Bob did. Even the people that have heard us praise the Lord in the past, the reason that God asks us and Jesus said you must forgive is because he don't want you to be responsible for them. Trying to get rid of the responsibility that lives in us from the pain that consistently seeps up and becomes a part of the mask that we wear, because so many people are wearing masks because they've never let go of things in the past. They just believe that it was okay to get over it, and they think they're over it until you see the person that did the thing, and then all of a sudden you realize, I ain't over this. Let me try it again. You think you're over it until you get close to the person that did the thing, and then you look at the person that did the thing, and all of these emotions well up, and you want to kill them. You want to see them arrested. You wish they were dead. You wish that they would never. You hope they ain't got no money, so you ain't over it. Praise the Lord. Does that help to ask?
That's what I had in my mind, but you know, because it's. I think the focus sometimes is mostly trying to resolve the world's problems. And it's not, that's not the case. It's to resolve the problems within God's people. So it's like that's the reason for the preaching and the proclaiming of the word of God. But because the world is the world, it's a whole different world than what we are in. So, yeah, that's what I was listening to.
And I think we'll close out right there.
Gotta love the hell out of them.
Go ahead, Sister Wanda. What did you say?
We gotta love the hell out of them.
That's right.
I love it. Love the hell out of them. Right. In closing, I think it is imperative for us to be on the same page about these things because you're going to be challenged with it. Especially with this particular administration that's out there, you know, they'll try their best to convince you, even through media and everything else, that what they're doing is right.
But there's no way in the world, if I like cooking barbecue in my house, I get to come over to your house and put a grill on the back porch and put fire and not even ask your permission to do it. I just because right. everybody is cooking barbecue.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody better eat barbecue. So I pass the law that every man needs to have a barbecue grill on their back porch. It is not God. Our job is to maintain our relationship. The world as we see it is coming to an end as we know it. Or the world as we know it is coming to an end as we see it, however you want to view that. Our job is to maintain what God has given us, stewardship over our families, stewardship over our jobs, stewardship over our hearts. And you got to steward over your heart because it's real easy for your heart to get hurt. Stewardship over your heart and be able to compartmentalize your emotions from the world so that the world has no influence over your heart. That, did you hear what I just said? You have to compartmentalize your heart and your emotions from the world because everything people do with the media, television, newspaper, radio, billboard, whatever you read, your cell phone, is to put more junk right back into your heart. That's what Facebook. Why the reason that Facebook is so famous, everybody, is because when they what's the kid's name that built Facebook? What's his name again? What's his name? It's not coming to the top of my mind. But everybody knows Facebook, right?
No,
he created Facebook. He created it in college, and he created it to be a gossip column, so everybody in college knew who was sleeping with who.
Yes. Mark Zuckerberg.
Went from college to college to college because everybody knew who was sleeping with who. They knew where the drugs were. They had secret codes they were using. They knew where all the alcohol was. They knew where the parties was. It was a university gossip system. And now it's become a universal gossip system. Right? From university to universal. And you have to be careful over your heart, saints of God. Be careful over your hearts. Be cautious over your heart. Compartmentalize. Forgive quickly. Move on from people. Forgiving doesn't mean go get back and, you know, stole my purse. I'm not letting you back in my house again, but I do forgive you. But you can't come in my house again.
Nope.
Doesn't that make sense?
No.
Yeah. Compartmentalize, protect your heart. Protect it. So, and this is why, verse 10. For with the heart, for with that heart, a man believeth unto righteousness, and then with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And if my heart gets tainted, I'll walk away from God. If my heart gets dirty enough, I'll turn from God. And that's why you see so many people leave church. They're not protecting your heart. Your heart deserves to be protected. You are special. That's why God called you. So as we get ready to exit this place, walk away with that one thought in your mind. I must be somebody awesome before God. For him to call me, and he didn't call all the other 4 or 5 billion people on the planet yet. Something is special about you. Know there's something special about you. Stay steadfast to the point that something is special about me. That doesn't mean I got an ego. It means I can now be humble. Because if he called me, he used me to help other people. That is the whole point of humility. I'm going to be used to help other folks, but I got to protect me in order to praise the Lord. Everybody all right? Praise God, everybody.
Any questions before we go?
Yes, sir.
They're calling me in now, so I'm going to go on in. I'm sorry I started kind of short, but I got a prayer request just for strength. That's all. Thank you. I love y'all.
Thank you.
Love you.
All right. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, prayer request. You want to give us a request first?
Huh?
You said you had a prayer request.
Yeah, just for strength. Just the strength to keep going.
Hallelujah. Right.
Stay on the phone with second sister Wanda. Take it from there.
Hallelujah. Just before we just say thank you and we love you, God. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise as we can rehearse in our brother's ear that we stand in agreement with him for strength.
Hallelujah.
So I thank you for reminding him that in his weakness that you are his strength. So allow him to be able to confess that out of his mouth and be real from his heart that he cannot handle whatever the situation is, whatever the weight is, it may be too heavy for you, and that he can give it to you right now. You said he can. We can cast all our cares upon you because you care for us. So I thank you for caring for us. I thank you for being a wheel in the middle of a wheel. I thank you for being the lily of the valley. I thank you for being the bright and morning star. I thank you for being everything that we need. I thank you that we are in this world but not of this world. I thank you that we are on a kingdom system, as it was said as we went through this Bible study on today. Hallelujah. And that we don't have to worry about the things that are going on in the world. Hallelujah. Our only concern is to pray for the souls that are in the world. Hallelujah. That we will be the light. Hallelujah. And that they will see our light and glorify our Father. Hallelujah. Which is you, and give all the glory, honor, and praise to you for being who you are, and for us being who you are, for us to know where we may go if our lights get turned out tonight, if we don't wake up another day. Hallelujah, that we know that where we are going. So I thank you that for today we were on your plan and in your agenda because you woke us up this morning. Hallelujah, you started us on our way. You gave us a portion of our health and our strength, and for that alone we give you glory, honor, and praise. We just want to say we don't take you for granted on today. Hallelujah, we don't take who you are for granted. We don't take your Son, we don't take Holy Spirit for granted. Hallelujah, we confess that we need you in every area of our life. We need you mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and some need you financially too. So I thank you for being of a breakthrough. We thank you for being a healer. We thank you for being a deliverer. We thank you for being a mind regulator. Hallelujah. We thank you that everything is in order when it comes to you. So I thank you that we are today going to put our flesh under subjection, that we're going to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you, so that we won't be led on the wild road, that we will begin to have that tunnel vision and take the straight and narrow road, knowing that it leads to life. Hallelujah. And anything outside of life leads to death. So we will even use our mouth to speak those things that were not as though they were. We are a righteous branch. Hallelujah. A royal priesthood. Hallelujah. And we will line up to the call on today. Hallelujah. We will make our confessions known to you. Hallelujah. We will let you know, hallelujah, that we don't have it all together. Hallelujah. Because you don't want us right or wrong. You want us real. So we're going to be real with you on today so that you can come and meet every need that we have on today, so that we can be that healed people that heal people. Hallelujah. That we can be that righteous branch. Hallelujah. That we can bear good fruit on today. Hallelujah. That somebody can call on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, from our experience, and we won't bleed on them in this season. Hallelujah, we'll be able to give healing from a healthy perspective. Hallelujah. So I thank you for everybody that's here. I thank you for everybody that wasn't even able to make it. We stand in the gap for our sisters and our brothers today. We stand in the gap for this nation. Hallelujah, and our communities. Hallelujah, we stand in the gap. Hallelujah, and we know that one will put 1,000 and two will put 10,000. So we tell the enemy, you have no dominion, victory, or power over us. Hallelujah. We tell you to flee from us. He said if you resist the devil, he will flee from you, and we resist you. You cannot have our mind. You cannot have our children. You can't have our home. You cannot have our happiness, our joy, our peace. We take it all back. Hallelujah. And then we going to give you our all. Give you our all. We must surrender all on today. Not some, but all. We surrender all to you on today and ask you to have your way in us any way that you see fit. We said not our will be done, but let your perfect will be done in our life like never before. Hallelujah. And we say thank you that your will be done. Hallelujah. And help us to be able to handle what your will is in this season. Hallelujah. So we don't want to ask of anything and not be able to handle it. So I ask that you continue to equip us like you put us in Bible study for today, to equip us for the assignment. So I thank you for equipping us for the assignment that's that's to come, hallelujah, that we can operate out of your spirit and not ours, that we can operate from you and not out of our emotions and our feelings, hallelujah. We put our feelings under subjection right now. We put our emotions under subjection right now. It has no dominion and power over us, hallelujah. We just want to say again, we surrender all to you, and we ask that you come in and have your way like never before. Because every time we come into your presence, we don't never want to leave the same. So we come here with intentions on today. Hallelujah. And we receive everything that we came here to receive. Hallelujah. And as we leave this place, but not your presence, I pray that you continue to work on us, that you continue to minister to us, hallelujah, that you allow your anointing and the power of Holy Spirit to continue to overtake us, hallelujah, that it lead us through the week until we meet again, hallelujah. And we just want to say thank you, because our latter is greater than our former. We thank you that what's to come is better than what's been. I speak life and not death. I speak that we are the lender and not the borrower. We are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. And I thank you, wherever you place us, hallelujah, in the spirit is where we are supposed to be. You don't make no mistakes, hallelujah. So forgive us for thinking low of ourselves, hallelujah, and think that we are thinking that we are forgot about or left out or left behind, hallelujah. We are a royal priesthood, hallelujah, one that's called by your name, hallelujah. And victory is already our portion, so we walk in victory. Hallelujah. So we leave here with the praise and thanking you in advance for everything that's to come to pass. Hallelujah. And we agree that our prayers are already answered and that is already done. And we pray right now that our mind and our spirit and our body line up with victory. Hallelujah. Because you already paid it all, and we just want to say thank you. I thank you for the first family. Hallelujah. I thank you that it flows, the anointing flows from the head down. Hallelujah. And I pray right now that you give them double for its trouble in the mighty name of Yahshua, that you will withhold no good thing for them, because you said the steps of a good man are ordered by Yah. So I thank you for ordering his footsteps and directing his path, that he can feed us, hallelujah, that he can drop seeds on us and we allow the Holy Spirit to water our seeds, hallelujah, that we begin to grow, hallelujah, for where there is no growth, your spirit does not dwell. And I thank you that we are under an anointing where the spirit is growing, where we are growing as people. We are not stagnant and stuck in this season, hallelujah. I decree and declare that we are moving forward. And I thank you that you are doing it expeditiously, hallelujah. And we just give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise. And we say thank you together in unity and as individuals for everything that's about to take place in your son, Yahshua's mighty name.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Waller. Love you, man. And go do the work, brother.
Amen.
All right. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yep. Yes, sir.
Love you all.
Love you too. God bless.
Yeah.
What'd you say, brother? Brother Dewan.
It is Mark Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. There you go.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Facebook.
Yep.
Yeah. Zuckerberg.
Yep. Yep.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. I love you, man. And we'll talk through the week. We got some basketball games coming on.
We do.
All right,
yeah.
All right. God bless you. Good night. Good night, sister. Wonderful job. Thank you.
Good night. All glory to the Most
good night,
High.
Good night.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good night.